Hello, this is Thompson Smiley, and another of those incidents when I take my Louisville Magazine column, Smiley's Picks, into the studios of WUOL. And my guest today is none other than Stephen Klein, who's president and CEO of the Kentucky Center, formerly known as the Kentucky Center for the Arts. But it's the arts we're talking about this morning. And for me, at least, the big event of January is the visit of the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. How did you pull that one off?
Well, it's we went to the agent and said, can we get the Royal Phil, especially with Zuckerman? They're actually doing a tour in two parts. One is with Zuckerman and the other one is with Charlie Dutoit. And because I've known Pinky since 1978 or 9 or something like that, I really wanted to see Pinky again. We've been friends for a long time, and the idea of having him back and both playing and conducting is just, to me, is very, very exciting.
I'll get to that in a moment, but just for clarification, Charles Dutoit is the principal conductor and music director of the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra and the great violinist with his 40-year career, one of the world's great violinists, Pinkus Zuckerman, is both soloist in this, but he's also principal guest conductor with the orchestra. I'm intrigued by the idea of playing a big-scale romantic concerto like the Bruch and conducting at the same time. Now, I know you can do it with early music, where you know you set the tempo and nothing changes for 40 minutes. But is this a piece of virtuosic showmanship?
I think there's some of that to it. There really is, except that Pinkus has been playing the Bruch for a long, long time, and he's been conducting a long time, and he's been working with the Royal Phil for quite a while. So there is automatically a chemistry. There's a relationship that he can give a head nod where someone else might have to do something with their forearms and forelocks.
Yes. When I was a lad, the Bruch was right up there alongside the Mendelssohn as you know, the other great popular violin concerto, and yet I haven't heard it mentioned for 20 years or so. When I went back to listening to it, it's a ravishing piece.
Oh, it's a terrific piece. It just is really big and romantic and grand. Which works for Pinkus, his great talent, his great style, and of course the incredible sound of the Royal Phil.
Yes, it's a wonderful program, isn't it? I mean, starting with the overture to Die Zauberflöte, the Magic Flute, and ending with that wonderful Brahms sort of autumnal Fourth Symphony. It's a pop program, but it's got lots of depth as well.
I don't really think of it as a pop program. I think of it just as some of the real landmark pieces
of
the classical repertoire that have become popular, not pop, only because they're universal. And, you know, you can walk out humming stuff.
Absolutely. You've had a lot of success, haven't you, bringing in orchestras? I mean, I think of the Moscow Philharmonic and the National Symphony. Is this, dare I say, is this a trend for the future?
I would like it to be. We have to see how well this works this year. We have, of course, with the Royal Phil, and we also got Academy of St. Martin's in the Fields, and with Joshua Bell. In the early years of the center, they brought in Chicago Symphony. I think they brought in Berlin. They brought in all sorts of really great orchestras. And this had, for some reason, and I'm not really sure why, they stopped doing that. And I think it's so important to hear the absolute best orchestras in the world. So you know there's a difference between one of the really great orchestras playing great repertoire and other orchestras.
Yes, I feel there is. So we go back to this thing where maybe the future of the arts lies to some extent in having centres of excellence, which then export product. I mean, you see this happening with the Met, which arguably is the greatest opera company in the world and which is now available in HD relay in something like 1,200 cities around the world. The economics of this, I have heard it rumored that you give a guarantee for a concert like this.
Generally, with pop artists, rock and roll, contemporary artists, there is usually some sort of a guarantee and then a percentage. And however the split is, however you can negotiate it. Is it 30% to the house, 70% to the artist, after expenses? I mean, they're all sort of the variations on a theme. Mm-hmm. But with classical orchestras, the deal has always been, and I started working with the Cleveland Orchestra in 1978, it's been a fixed fee, a flat fixed fee, a guarantee. If nobody comes, you still get, they still get paid. We played a concert with the Cleveland Orchestra in Washington, D.C., during a blizzard, and this is back in 80 or 79 or something, and we were, a lot of the orchestra members were at the Howard Johnson's across from the Kennedy Center in the Watergate. Mizell, of course, who was the music director, was at the Watergate. But there were only 28 people in the audience.
Oops.
Some people came with cross-country skis because there was 18 inches of snow. Making Washington, D.C. really impenetrable. We played, the musicians walked, trekked across Virginia Avenue to get there. Why? Because if we hadn't played, we wouldn't have gotten paid. We got the entire fee.
Yes, indeed. Yes, the no-show principle. It's the greatest cure for the common cold with singers, I know, isn't it? You only get paid if you've actually,
that's right,
if you've actually performed. And I've heard it said that the guarantees are generally in the region of the low six figures, 100,000 plus expenses. That must make it a very comparatively inexpensive program.
Yes and no. And the reason is... I think at one point it was less expensive than it is now. We're trying to take ticket prices down so it can be more accessible to people. Sponsorship for orchestras is diminishing. We're very fortunate here that our classical concerts are being sponsored by Glenview Trust.
And a new kid on the block as far as
sponsorship,
yes.
Yeah. But they're doing both of the big classical orchestras for us, and we're extraordinarily grateful for that.
But I do want to recap that this is on Thursday, January 12 at 7:30 at the Whitney Hall, and tickets are starting at $30, which is surprisingly and engagingly inexpensive for a program of this quality. And Pinchas Zukerman, the principal guest conductor, is going to be conducting, of course, but also the soloist in Bruch's ravishingly beautiful Violin Concerto Number 1. Can you just give us some information on the St. Martin the Fields so we can put it in our memory banks?
Well, that's, well, of course,
that's in April.
That's also, it's in April. It's a magnificent orchestra. And we've got Joshua Bell again as music director and solo violin. And it's a terrific all Beethoven program. Coriolan Overture, Violin Concerto in D Major, Opus 61, and the Symphony Number 7. And Josh was relatively new as the music director of the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields. But he, of course, has generated incredible excitement all across the music world. In fact, he sold out here a couple years ago, Fanfara totally sold out Whitney Hall to the absolute rafters. But he's a fine musician, a virtuosic musician, and he is, as one of the people in our staff said, incredibly sexy.
Is he indeed? He's also, if not exactly a Kentuckian, the next best thing, he's from Indianapolis, isn't he, or from Bloomington?
I was not aware.
I believe
he is.
I should have been. I believe he is. I know I was thinking of compiling a book in the slimmest volumes in the world series called Gentile Violinists, and I thought Joshua Bell might qualify, but apparently his mother is Jewish. Why do you think it is that Jews have this monopoly on violin music? All the great violinists, almost
without
exception.
Well, yeah, Heifetz and, you know, the whole thing. But not Anna Sophie Mutter. But anyway, but yes, yeah. In fact, very often they were referred to in the old days as the Kosher Nostra.
Yes, I can well understand that. Somebody said that it's all the persecutions of programs in which there was no point in learning the piano because you might have to leave town shop. But at least with a violinist, you could pick it up and go. We have only a few seconds left. Can we remind people it's January 12 at 7:30. The number to call
is 584-7777, 584-7777.
Something absolutely not to be missed on January 12th. Stephen Klein, thank you very much indeed.
Thompson, thank you.